Hello. Good morning, everybody. If you would join me in a brief word of prayer. Jesus, give thanks that we can come to your house this morning and seek your face. Pray that you would help us to understand your word and not just understand, but how to apply your word so that your word would guide us and give us life. We thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read from Exodus today. Exodus 5. And just to give a quick recap of Exodus 4 and where we're jumping into now. So in Exodus 4, Moses is asking a lot of questions about what God wants him to do, which is he wants Moses to confront Pharaoh and express to him that he wants to free the Israelites. And of course, Moses is uncertain. And so he asks a bunch of questions like, what should I, you know, who am I to do this? And what should I say if they ask which God is asking? And finally, I mean, those kind of seem like more legit questions. Finally, he's making an excuse and he says, but you see, I'm not a very good public speaker. And every single time, God gives him a perfect answer, right? And then finally, Moses just says, actually, I just don't want to do it. Send someone else, right? So it gets to the heart of the matter. And it's at this point that God responds in anger towards him, right? Because, I mean, I guess you could say Moses calls him Lord, right? But he doesn't treat him as Lord. He calls him Lord, but doesn't treat him as Lord. If he was Lord and God said to Moses, jump, you would say, how high? Right? But instead, when God tells Moses to jump, he has all these questions and finally says, I don't want to jump, right? So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. As we profess that Jesus is Lord, is it just by name or is he really our Lord? But still, God is so gracious to Moses, right? And I think it's understandable because in some ways, their personal relationship, it just started, right? They kind of like just met, really. And so God is so gracious, despite Moses not just saying, yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. And he says, send somebody else. He provides a provision, which is Moses' brother Aaron, to speak on his behalf and be the kind of face, right? And we know, even though God provided this provision, it was not God's best. That's not what he wanted. And we see this later, right? We see that Aaron, especially for the next 40 years, he was not the ideal leader. And we see this, right? We see later Aaron with his sister, they're trying to create a rebellion against Moses. We see later when they leave Egypt and Moses is out up in Mount Sinai, they build a golden calf, right? And Aaron is supposed to be in charge. The people want to build a golden calf, and as a leader, as a gatekeeper, right, he should have stopped it right there. But instead, he goes, let's do that, right? He went with the flow. And so we see kind of the repercussions of what happened. And so, Aaron wasn't the ideal, but God provided a provision. So that's where we kind of ended, and now they're about to confront Pharaoh. So Exodus 5, it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness.' But Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And besides, I will not let Israel go.' Then they said, 'The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3-day journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' But the king of Egypt said to them, 'Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors.' Again, Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors?' So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, 'You are no longer to give the people straw to make brick as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of bricks which they were making previously, you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it, because they are lazy. Therefore, they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work at it so that they will pay no attention to false words.' So the taskmasters of the people and their foremen went out and spoke to the people, saying, 'Thus says Pharaoh, I am not going to give you any straw. You go and get straw for yourselves wherever you can find it, but none of your labor will be reduced.' So the people scattered through all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters pressed them, saying, 'Complete your work quota, your daily amount, just as when you had straw. Moreover, the foremen of the sons of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not completed your required amount, either yesterday or today, in making brick as previously? Then the foremen of the sons of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why do you deal this way with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants. Yet they keep saying to us, make bricks. And behold, your servants are being beaten. But it is the fault of your own people.' But he said, 'You are lazy, very lazy. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. So go now and work, for you will be given no straw, yet you must deliver the quota of bricks.' The foremen of the sons of Israel saw that they were in trouble, because they were told, 'You must not reduce your daily amount of bricks.' When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron as they were waiting for them. They said to them, 'May the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us.' Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all.'" All right. Awesome. And so right now you can see the confrontation has finally happened. And you can say this is like, it's like the super confrontation with Tyson versus Holyfield. Those are famous boxing matchups. Or I guess you could say it's George Foreman versus Muhammad Ali. It was like a big, important matchup. If you don't know. But you can see on one side, it's Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the most powerful person in the world, full of authority, full of confidence. And Egyptian king, they were seen as gods by their people. And they were known, and they even thought themselves as gods. And so there was Pharaoh versus Moses. Moses, and you could say it was kind of unfair, because Moses had God on his side, Yahweh, right? So even though it looked like it wasn't fair, it was actually already a really unfair battle off the bat. And Moses, in verse 1, he says, "Let my people go," right? And it says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go." And Pharaoh responds in a very reasonable way. He says, "Huh? Who is this Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And besides, I will not let Israel go." And so he has no idea who Yahweh is. And so his response is quite reasonable. Isn't like imagine a random person comes out to you, makes these to them, it's a crazy demand, right? Which is, at this point, it's, the demand isn't let my people go. It's all, can you allow them to go for 3 days to go worship? So it would be equivalent. So I'm sure for Pharaoh, what he's asking is, hey, can all these slaves who are central to the economy, and it's not just laborers, it's people, they're like servants, it could be like people who are cleaners, it's throughout society. And you're saying, hey, why don't we just all have them take a 3-day vacation? That's what he's hearing. And it says in the prior chapter that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And sometimes we interpret that as, oh, he has no free will, right? He was forced into the decision. But what I read was, that's not really what the hardening of heart means. What it means is, Pharaoh still made his decision on his own, which is a very reasonable decision, which is he has no idea who this God is. You know, Moses is asking for something which is going to like disrupt people's life. And so he made a decision and he said, no, we're not going to do that. And then after he made that decision with his own free will, then God hardened his heart. And we can see he responds hardened later. And so what happens? Pharaoh talks to Moses, right, and says, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And later, this is after his conversation with Moses, then he's like hardened, right? And he says, okay, I think the Jewish slaves, they're taking us for granted, right? Oh, and so just so you know, I know like we think, oh, like off the bat, slavery is obviously terrible because you don't have freedom. But it's not as bad as we actually think it is in some ways, right? Because what happens is these slaves who, especially maybe different from laborers, but these slaves, especially if they work in households, right? They are part of the family. They don't receive a wage, but they're part of the family. So they could be treated quite well, right, as part of the family. And as a result, sometimes the Egyptian slaves, especially if they're like more as servants, they would be even treated even better than kind of the marginalized Egyptians or even foreigners or anyone who were not slaves. Which you kind of see why also, like, they flip back and forth. Even though they're slaves, life wasn't so bad. So even when they were freed in the promised land, not the promised land, but in the wilderness, they're still like complaining, why did you take us out? This is far harder. It probably was harder, right? When they were in the wilderness than when they were slaves, but they had their freedom, right? But in terms of being taken care of, it was better. And so Pharaoh is like, oh, they're so spoiled. They want to go on vacation. Let's make work even harder. And so he says, especially for these laborers, I guess, and laborers built, you know, the buildings, everything. And he said, okay, for these laborers, let's make it even harder on them. Let's have them for their brick. So instead of, we're not going to provide them straw. So what does the straw and these bricks do? It's basically you take the straw, you mix it with the brick, and because of, I guess, the way straw is, it's all like, you know, it'll be intertwined with the brick. And as a result, it's a lot stronger than without the straw, right? So if you didn't have the straw, it'd be very brittle. When you like hit it, it would just, pop, it just crack. But if it has the straw, it's more porous, so it dries faster. And if you were to hit it, it's still got all these pieces of like straw or kind of like string throughout, so it keeps it together, right? Even bricks, if you look at it, sometimes they have things like this metal mesh in between it, right, to keep the structure intact. And so what's actually really cool, historians and archaeologists, they've discovered these bricks. And, well, before I get to that, so what Pharaoh says is, you guys still provide, so instead they got stubble. What's this stubble? It's kind of like little pieces of, I guess, like it would be like little pieces of weed or just like little pieces of, I guess, like plants, like kind of small parts to kind of compensate for that. And so archaeologists have discovered these bricks and these bricks on buildings that are being built. And they found that at the base layer, there's they called adobe bricks. These adobe bricks, they had that straw in the construction. And then the later layers, there was this stubble. And then the top layer, I guess eventually, it was just plain clay, right? So you can see, even historically, it's been discovered. So kind of just confirms what we read in Exodus. But I was going to say, it's interesting. I mean, definitely spiritualizing this. Pharaoh is kind of like Satan, right? Which is right when you're on the cusp, or right now, they're right on the cusp of breakthrough, right? Right now, they're starting their journey. And as a result of this happening, Pharaoh comes down on them really hard. And what does it do to the people? We see later, it makes them question. Like, and then they get upset at God. They get upset at Moses, right? Isn't that like us too, when we're about to be on a cusp of breakthrough, right? Or something is good about to happen. That's when the enemy attacks. That's when the enemy attacks. And same thing. He wants you to question God. He wants to question the people around you. Same thing, right? That, so we have to be aware of the schemes of the enemy, right? And realize, even when circumstances don't appear to be working out, that doesn't mean God is not at work. And so we see that God is at work. And so what helps us is to keep our mindset and keep our faith that God is faithful, God is sovereign, right? Because if you do that, then you won't let your circumstances dictate what's going on. And we see this, I think, great example is Job, right? Despite what happened, and he experienced the worst, right? He lost his family, he lost everything he had, he lost his children, but he still recognized the sovereignty of God. And he said, you know, from the song, you know, you give and take away, you give and take away. That's from Job. My heart will choose to stay, Lord, blessed be your name. Still recognize that God is in charge, God is sovereign. And if you really believe that God is sovereign, then you wouldn't be so stressed or anxious when things don't work out, right? And then notice also, when the Israelites, they were upset because they couldn't meet the demands, right? They couldn't still build these bricks well. and still provide the same amount of bricks. And then they got beaten for it. And so they were complaining. And so you would think when things like this don't work out, I mean, two things, you would go to Moses first. And hopefully the best thing is you would pray. They did neither of those. They went straight to Pharaoh. And what's interesting is, why did Pharaoh meet them directly? You think the most powerful man, he could have other people just handle this, but he instead talked to them directly. And so I think it's because Pharaoh was really smart. He knew that this was a big deal. And so he wanted to deal with it directly. And when he did, I think the objective was, let me deal with this directly, and hopefully there'll be, what do you call it, division, right? And that's kind of what happened. After he has this talk with the Israelites saying, you guys are spoiled, lazy, you guys are taking us Egyptians for granted. That's why you guys are suffering. It's not because of us, it's not because of me, it's because of what you guys did and whoever incited this. And so afterwards, they go to Moses, and they're not like, hey, Moses, we got to pray, man, because we just talked to Pharaoh. Instead, they accuse Moses. And they kind of like bless but curse him. It's like, may the Lord judge you for what you've done. And so same, we need to respond with prayer. And so we'll finish here. And just at the end, we have to, like, we see that Moses' last response to God after looking at his circumstances, nothing's working out. The people he's come to lead are accusing him, saying, basically, what you're leading us to do is not from God. And he says, Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? He's questioning everything. Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak to your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. So Moses is upset and confused, because he's like, God, I know you're real. At least Moses had that, right? He's like, I know you're real, but what happened? You told me to do all these things, and none of it is working out. And part of us recognizing that God is sovereign is we misunderstand God's, misunderstand. This is what Moses did, right? He misunderstood God's, how he was going to execute it and when. That was the issue here. He didn't know the how and the when. And he presumed, based on, and this is us too, we want things right away. We hear from God, we pray, we feel so encouraged, and we're expecting it to happen right away. The next day, maybe a week at the most. And if it doesn't, we question, is it really God? Did he really say that? Is he really going to do it? And we, I mean, obviously, because we know the whole story, right? We see how the how and when. How and the when happened. And in some ways, as a result of Pharaoh really hardening his heart, the how and the when was magnificent. Imagine if Pharaoh just said, okay, sure. I mean, we know the Jews weren't really leaving for 3 days, right? So it's a mystery why Moses said, oh yeah, we just need to go 3 days to go worship. Maybe because that would have seemed much more reasonable, but Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so as a result, the how and when later was actually one of the greatest miracles and stories in the Bible to this day, right? And so I want to invite Cardi up. And I think we can just look to Moses, look to God, And it's just a great reminder, right, that God is sovereign. He's in control. He is capable. He has a plan for your life. And if He's spoken to you, if He's spoken promises to you, don't let the timing, don't let circumstances dictate and define your life, and don't let it dictate and define God. And all we have to do to be reminded is, I mean, you go into the Word, you read these stories of God's faithfulness, of coming through. He doesn't break His covenant. He doesn't break His promises. He's so gracious and patient. And even as Moses expresses this doubt at the end, you see in the next chapter, he doesn't get a rebuke. Actually, God just so patient, just explains things to him. And so our response is, I mean, you just pray. Right? You pray, you go to God. The Israelites, they went to Pharaoh. But when Moses had these questions and doubts, he went to God. So if there's something, even for you right now, that you're struggling with, you know God promised this to you. He's spoken words of encouragement to you, and you're still, you don't have clarity, and it's on your heart, then just go to Him. Go to Him right now and just run into His presence.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but You have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for You have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is Your faithfulness, Your faithfulness. your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed.
We're experiencing some technical difficulties, so we're not going to have the prayer points on the screen, but let's pray for our community. Let's cover, if there's anyone in your life or whoever comes to mind, you can just pray for them. Pray for those who are just suffering from cancer, and also pray for those who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, chemo, and just pray for strength, pray for healing, and just as we talked about today, that God is sovereign, that they would not just look to their circumstances, but they would look to God. Next, let's cover those who are suffering from any infirmities. Let's pray for their healing. Next, let's cover those who are suffering from infirmities, but also in need of a word of salvation. Let's pray that they have the opportunity to receive, that they would have softened hearts to receive. Let's cover those who are looking for jobs. I believe on the list is Jenny and also Andrew. And so let's cover them. Let's pray for God to open doors, that they would be diligent, continue to seek after the Lord during this time when they do have a bit more time. Let's go to our mission focus now. Let's pray for Singapore, SPSG. Let's pray for Indonesia, SPIN. Let's pray for Philippines, SPIL. These are all our plants. Let's cover them. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for SP Kids, led by P. Mary and Lisa. Let's cover our youth, SP Youth, led by Donald. Let's pray for SPU, led by P. Andrew. Let's cover our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for IP, led by Matt, The Well, led by Sarah, and also The River, led by Rachel. Let's cover our evening outreaches. Let's pray for SP Lights, Homie Outreach. We would continue to witness and be God's hands and feet. Pray for house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Cullinan West. Let's pray that they have a really good time as they talk about house church, and they would just get on the same page and be motivated and intentional regarding house church. Let's pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray, cover Viv, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Mon, Yiling, Vicky, and others. Let's just cover all the moms, especially if they are at risk or if there's situations with the baby. Let's pray for encouragement. Let's pray for God to bring a miracle. Let's pray. Finally, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the wealth gap. Let's pray for the poor and the marginalized. Let's pray for the people, our government. And also pray for just COVID and how we're handling this situation and how we're going to resolve it. Yes, Lord Jesus, we recognize, just as with Moses and in this situation with Moses in Egypt and Pharaoh, where the times were so uncertain and tumultuous, that you are sovereign. And we recognize, just as in Moses' life, you are also sovereign in our life. You're in control. You have a plan. You're sovereign in our life, in Hong Kong, in our city, our country. You're sovereign in the world. And so, Lord, given that, we just, all the uncertainty and unknowns that we have and questions that we have, we just lay it at your feet because we trust you and we call you our Lord. Yes, and we call you our Lord. And so our job, our responsibility is not to scramble, to search for answers everywhere, because there's so much information out there, Lord. But our job is to first and foremost is to turn to you. Turn to you for answers. Turn to you for guidance. And we just follow your instructions, Lord. We thank you that life in some ways can be so simple. We just do what you say, just as you modeled it and just did what the Father says. So we thank you, Lord. Just be with us today. Bless us that we would be so aware of your presence in our lives and be able to discern your will. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day today, and please continue to spend time with God.